Trendstorm.
Welcome back to Trendstorm. Now let's take a look at the uncertainty in Afghanistan. Everything in Afghanistan is in a state of absolute uncertainty as President Ghani's cabinet is in crisis. The Taliban's in the upswing once again. Russia postponed its peace talks. And fake news abounds. The country's national security advisor quit last week following the Taliban's recent spree of offenses all throughout the country. Though the president refused to accept the resignation of his defense minister, interior minister, and head of the National Directorate of Security shortly thereafter. The sharp split between the military intelligence elements of the Afghan Permanent Bureaucracy, or Deep State, and the civilian one, represented by President Ghani, hints that the country might soon become even more dysfunctional than ever. It was partially because of this that Russia decided to postpone its planned peace talks in Moscow that were originally planned for next week, though this announcement came on the same day as a fake news report alleged that either Russian or Tajik jets bombed Taliban positions in northern Afghanistan, which was refuted by both of those countries and the armed opposition. It's still unclear exactly what happened, if anything at all, and what purpose the dissemination of these lies into the mainstream media was supposed to serve, but it nevertheless contributed to the confusion over the country's direction at this critical moment. Trump's policy of cracking down on the Taliban has visibly failed, and Eric Prince of Blackwater Infamy is now making the rounds on cable TV trying to convince the American president of the need to replace the military with mercenaries. At the same time, the pro-American Afghan government is expected to hold trilateral talks with India and the U.S.'s top Mideast enemy, Iran, from the 9th to the 12th of September in Kabul, as they seek to leverage India's investment in the Iranian port of Chabahar to the benefit of Afghanistan's reconstruction, though not without also improving Iran's influence in the country, to America's chagrin. It also shouldn't be forgotten that Daesh is also active in the country. Altogether, Afghanistan is confronting interlinked and worsening deep state and domestic security crises. The abrupt postponement of the Moscow peace process following fake news about Russian airstrikes in the country, the failure of Trump's Afghan policy and possible replacement of U.S. troops with mercenaries, growing Iranian influence in the country, and Daesh, thus making the situation more uncertain than has been for years. So folks, I'm not sure how many of you have been following what's happening in Afghanistan, but after my introduction, I hope you're riveted on the edge of your seat because what's happening in that country is bad news. And we have two experts today that are going to explain to us what it all means and why it's so important. So the first one that we're going to speak to is Mr. Syed Ali Zia Jafri. He is a research associate at the Center for Security, Strategy and Policy Research at the University of Lahore, and he's also the associate editor of Pakistan Politico. Syed, how you doing today?
Yeah, good.
Trendstorm. Okay, how important is the Afghan cabinet crisis, and what consequences could it have for domestic security, given the Taliban's recent offensives and Daesh's rise in the country?
Okay. The Taliban cabinet crisis would not have that great an impact on the overall security profile of the country. You must understand that the National Unity government that came after quite a lot of bickering in 2014 was already very tenuous, and it had a lot of infighting and, you know, a lot of weakness surrounding it. And you can understand that the Taliban has been quite brazen in its military activities against the Afghan National Army and the American forces as well. And we have taken little account of the government. The government does not have any influence on major cities and major countries, as many reports have been floated in that regard. So I don't think so. The national security or the cabinet team's change or their resignation or their acceptance or rejection will have any bearing on Taliban's military activity or the Afghan security profile in the near future. All that matters are things that pertain to dialogue and health of the Afghan National Army. I don't think so. This cabinet had a greater role to play in this entire scheme of things, or it had a role in securing Afghanistan per se.
Okay, well, you just touched upon the importance of dialogue, so I'm interested in finding out your reaction to Russia's postponement of the Moscow peace talks and whether you think this decision was influenced more by the Afghan cabinet crisis or the fake news about Russian airstrikes or perhaps some other reason.
The crisis, the talks, the Moscow process has been postponed by Russia because it has been rejected by USA and by the Afghan government because they think that, you know, that we should have enough on that peace process. But this shows one important thing, that Russia is very keen in sustaining this process. And they have given quite a good amount of consideration to the concerns of America and the Afghans, and because I feel that the Russians will give peace a chance because it's important for them as well. And they are conducting these peace talks with a singular agenda right now, that we have to defeat ISIS-KP, and that is why we need peace in Afghanistan through talking with the Taliban. So I don't think there is any link between the cabinet crisis and this thing. But I think the Russians are giving ample chance to the Afghans and the Americans in, accepting this process, because they don't want to sound as if they have some ulterior motives regarding these peace talks. That is why I have even written on it, and it will be published soon, that Russia, by their actions of late in the Afghan process, has shown that it certainly wants the dialogue to go along the amicable manner and something that is acceptable to all. Had it had any ulterior motives, it would have just pressed ahead with the dialogue, and it would have just, carried on with the dialogue by driving its own agenda. But I don't see that happening right now. We are doing it in good stead.
Okay, well, what do you expect Trump to do amidst all this uncertainty, especially considering the upcoming midterm elections and the prevailing unpopularity of the Afghan war? I mean, on one hand, he might be compelled to expand the American military presence there, but on the other, an argument can also be made that doing so would be counterproductive and the U.S. should actually draw down, but this can turn it into a domestic political issue. So basically, what do you foresee him doing in the coming months?
Yeah, I think Trump is in a catch-22 situation. Trump has, given a nod to direct talks with the Taliban, as you understand that Alice Wells went and met the Taliban officials in another country. But then he has also appointed Zalmay Khalilzad as the State Department has nominated Zalmay Khalilzad as the representative for Afghanistan. And his views are open in front of everyone, especially regarding Pakistan. And the U.S. military has again said that the Pakistan is, supporting, needs to do more. Yes, the midterm election would be important, but remember that Trump is Trump thrives in populism. So Trump may be tempted to, retain a heavy military presence in Afghanistan, but then he has again promised that then they have again shown a little bit of flexibility regarding talks with the Taliban. So I find the Americans in a situation where, yes, they want to pursue talks, but they want to pursue talks in a way that keeps them at the forefront. And I don't see them actually constructively engaging with the Taliban, because if they were to constructively engage with the Taliban, they wouldn't have, defeated Zalmay Khalilzad, because he's not welcomed by many inside Afghanistan and even maybe by Pakistan, because he has been very critical by Islamabad's role, alleged role in Afghan affairs. So I think it will be cleared in the next few weeks time what Trump does or doesn't. But I feel that this discrepancy in this and these different wavelengths can really have a bad effect on the even otherwise deteriorated security environment of Afghanistan. I think they will try to talk to Taliban, but maybe on their own terms. I don't even discard the possibility that they would discontinue their military presence, because that they would indeed they would want that to remain intact.
Saya, this was a solid review of the uncertain state of affairs in Afghanistan and the direction that the country could go in the near future. You really helped us all make a lot more sense out of what's going on and why. So thanks again for that. Now we're going to hear what Mr. Almas Haider has to say. Almas is an Islamabad-based TV anchor, geopolitical analyst, and executive director at Regional Report.
Trendstorm.
Okay, Almas, so what was the recent fake news about Russian airstrikes in Afghanistan supposed to achieve, especially after earlier fake news tried to contradictorily convince the world that Russia was arming the Taliban?
The fake news of the Russian airstrikes in Afghanistan is a continuation of the previous fake news. If we analyze that, both fake news are inherently contradictory. If you want to establish that Russia is arming Taliban, then how it can go for the strikes to same Taliban? It's ironic. Look at the fake news about the strikes. They want to actually send a message to the Taliban circles that they must be mindful that if you are going to have any sort of engagement with Russia, Russia can also hunt you in Taliban, in Afghanistan. But the matter of fact is that not just Russia, but Tajikistan also denied the fact that they were not behind air raids in northern Afghanistan. Basically, Afghan media was media attributed this story, quoting Petr Province. But, you know, the Mr. Afghan official who claimed that the clashes broke out on 26th of August between drug smugglers in Afghanistan and Tajik border guards. Afghan official claims that the foreign fighters jet intervened but couldn't verify if they were from Russia or Tajikistan. Both of the officials from Tajikistan and Russia, they denied the involvement. If we look at the Russian stakes in Afghanistan, they are very much clear. It will not compromise on outflow of terrorism or drugs to Russia or its peripheries, in especially the Central Asian republics. I think when it will be attacked, will claim.
Okay, Almas. Well, if we move along then to our real news, Afghanistan will soon hold trilateral talks with India and Iran. Washington certainly doesn't want Tehran expanding its influence there, even though it wants New Delhi to, but India naturally has to go through Iran in order for this to happen. So, Almas, what's the real U.S. policy then?
Yes, Afghanistan, India, and Iran will have a little meet in Kabul from September 9 to 12. The talks, which are around the various facets of rebuilding Afghanistan, will be conducted at the deputy minister, foreign ministry level. First of all, with regards to Afghanistan, there are lots of multilateral forums and engagements are under process on peace and stability. None of the format could achieve anything. Afghanistan, India, and Iran format primarily focus on connectivity because you know that India is helping to build Chabahar port complex in Iran. India is interested in developing alternate access routes to the landlocked country. You know, the phase one of Chabahar port is due to be completed soon and its operation will be handed over to the Indian company. Several consignments of wheat and other supplies have already reached Afghanistan from India through Chabahar port. There is, however, a requirement of developing the land and rail connectivities to the borders and deep into the Afghanistan to facilitate optimum use of Chabahar port. Indeed, this is not the whole picture. Without peace and stability, trade and transit is not possible. Now, if Iran and India share interests of stability in Afghanistan, it will really raise the eyebrows in the United States.
Very interesting, Almas. Well, then, as of now, you know, as we spoke about, it appears as though, you know, American influence in Afghanistan is declining to a degree. Indian and Iranian influence is rising, and Russian influence remains unclear to a certain extent. But where does that leave China, then, and to what effect? And we have about a minute left.
If we look at the policy documents and actions by Trump administration, it seems war against terrorism is no more U.S. priority.
We have just discussed why Iranian and Indian influence is growing in Afghanistan. As far as China is concerned, Chinese role in Afghanistan has grown rapidly in recent years. This is in sharp contrast to its low-profile presence in country even 2 years ago. I think over a decade after the fall of Taliban regime in December, I think perhaps December 2001, China preferred to be more spectator of dramatic events unfolding in Afghanistan. Unlike other countries, they send their troops in to participate counter insurgency operations, contributed financially, and supported the reconstruction of war-torn country. But when we look at the Chinese growing interest in Afghanistan, it was in early 2015 that China began facilitating talks between the Ghani government and the Taliban. However, the facts, I believe, that in the efforts made little progress, partly because deteriorating relations between Afghanistan and Pakistan on the continuing Taliban attacks in Afghanistan. My point is, the recognizing that its efforts to get Taliban to get the negotiating table with no progress as long as Pakistan and Afghanistan remain at the loggerheads.
Yeah, this is unfortunate. That's about all the time we got, Almaz. So I just want to thank you for the great geopolitical conversation about the intersecting interest that Russia, Iran, India, and China have in Afghanistan nowadays. This really put its latest domestic turmoil into a broader perspective. So thank you for explaining everything to us.
Trendstorm.
Now, folks, if we think back on what both Syed and Almaz shared with us today, we can agree that definitely what's happening in Afghanistan is a state of absolute uncertainty. But having said that, it doesn't necessarily mean that the country will descend into anarchy. Uncertainty and anarchy are linked, but one does not always lead to the other. It does seem like all countries involved, and indirectly involved as well, have some type of interest, of course, and they do seem to have some plans. But because all these plans are unfolding at the same time, it does look a little bit chaotic. We have to admit that. So folks, if you want to sound off and share what you think about this, please send us an email at radio@sputniknews.com or find us on Facebook. Stay with us.